No. Okay, let's go into it. Sure is good to see everybody this morning. We got a lot of visitors here today. You're our most welcome, our most honored guest. It is always our intention, always our desire to make those of you that are visiting feel so welcome. You want to come back and worship God together with us again. There is a custom that I do every year about this time. And that is I work up a sermon specifically for those that are graduating. If you don't know this, we've got a lot of students that are graduating here in the next few weeks. Kara Benson, Josh Beckley, Morgan Cruz, Clay Foster, Tori Hurt, David Marsh, Audra Watts, and Tyler Dixon. And if I've missed you, please tell me, and I'm sorry. But those are all that I could think of. This is a time when we rejoice with you. But you need to know it. At the same time, we're a little apprehensive. Because we know that you're at a crossroads in your life. And you've got major decisions you're going to have to be making in your life. Those of you that are the college students, well, you've been here with us now for years. And we love you very dearly, but we have to realize and accept the fact you're getting ready to leave. You're going to move. And we probably won't see you very much more anymore in the rest of your life. Our primary goal and desire for everybody that is here is for all of you to make it to heaven. But whenever you're graduating from high school, as some of you are right now, and going to make major decisions of your directions, I have seen people graduate from high school, and it seems like within the next year or so, they completely leave God. And so this lesson here this evening is for those of you that are graduating, but it is also for all of us, but specifically for those of you that are graduating. And the title of the sermon is The Shaping of Your Life. We want your lives to be good. We want your lives to be filled with blessings. We want you to have wonderful marriages, wonderful families. We want you to grow old in the Lord together with your husband and your wife. We want you to die in the Lord and go to heaven. And so you need to realize, for those to come to pass, there are major decisions you're going to have to be making very soon in your life. The proverb that was read is chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So very soon, graduates, you're going to be making extremely important decisions. You are at what we call the crossroads in your life. You're where you have to make a decision of which way you are going to go. And these decisions are going to have massive impact upon the rest of your life. Sometimes there's a direction when you look at it. It may seem like it's a good way to go. It may seem like it's the right way. But if you choose that way, it's going to be the destruction of your life and possibly the destruction of your soul. And so that being said and that warning being given, let's talk about the decisions you're going to have to be making. The first and most important thing I can tell you to do is this. Keep God at the very center of your life. Romans 8 and verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. One of the things I've been trying to do ever since I've been here now for 4 years is trying to get you grounded in your faith and grounded in your relationship with God. I've told y'all the story of when I graduated from college and high school. Quite frankly, when I was in high school and going into college, I didn't know why I believed what I believed. And I'd been attending the Church of Christ all of my life. I didn't know why I believed in God. I didn't know why I believed the Bible was the Word of God. I didn't know why I believed Jesus was even the Christ. But I believed it probably because of my culture. When I found out why I believed what I believed, and it was my faith, that changed my life. And one of the things we've been trying to do here when we're working with you is get you to where you know what you believe and you know why you believe it. We're trying to get you grounded in your relationship with God so when you do leave here, you have God at the very center of your life. You have a strong relationship with God, because I've got some bad news, and that is bad things are going to happen to you. There's going to be trials you're going to go through. There's going to be all kinds of problems you're going to be facing in your future life. But with God at the very center of your life, all things work together for those that love God. Because you have faith, when your faith goes through the fire, if you will hold on to your faith and not burn up in the trials and problems of life, if you'll hold on to your faith, you will find it will produce patience and character and a stronger hope for going to heaven. It will help you to mature as a Christian. So keep God at the center of your life, at the center of your relationships, at the center of your job, at the center of your choices. Always keep God at the center. Romans again in chapter 8, 31. For then we shall say to these things, if God is for us, who can be against us? Answer the question. The answer is nobody. If God is for you, and if you have a relationship with God by faith, and it is a true relationship driven by your faith, God is with you. Who can be against you? Well, there's a lot of people out there that can do a lot of bad things to you. You may find yourself in a job somewhere, and you're wondering, why are these people not like me? And it's because of your faith. Or you may find yourself in a relationship with a young man, a young woman, and it's just not working out, and you can't figure out why. And you search it out, and you realize, it's because of my faith. If you ever find yourself hurting because of your faith, those are actually the high moments of your life. That's when I believe the Lord is the proudest of you. But know this, God is for you. And with God being for you and God blessing you, I just put it to you this way. I am the happiest man in the world. You know why? Because God protected me from myself. He protected me from me. Because there were directions. If I would have taken them because I enjoyed that direction, if I would have stayed that way, it would have destroyed my life and destroyed my soul. With God in your life, even though there's going to be things hitting you, and even though there's going to be trials and problems, with God beside you, you can make it through it. And as you grow as a Christian, you're going to find your relationship with God gets deeper and deeper, and your life gets richer and richer. And at the end of the way, you finally are with the Lord. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As I told you, you're going to have trials. There's going to be times when you're just going to be downright beat and you've got nothing left to give. And you're wondering, how am I going to go forward? How am I going to do this? It is through your relationship with Christ and God you can draw strength from them to where when you've got nothing left to give, He'll hold you up. He'll strengthen you. He'll help you. So you do please understand this. Your relationship with God is the most important thing in your life. It is the most important thing in your future for it to be good, for you to be able to have the life that we want you to have. Ephesians says in chapter 3 and verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You're going to have problems sometimes, and you're going to see that you have no idea how to handle it. That you can't fix it, that you don't know the way out, that they're just too big for you. Okay. I know somebody who can help you, and it's God. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can think or ask. So you've got problems, and you're going to have problems. That's the point I'm trying to make. You're going to have problems. Take them to God in prayer. Through your relationship with God, you're going to be able to do all things. Through your relationship with God, when you hit the problems, rather than it tearing you down and ruining your life, it will make you a better person, a stronger person. And so the best and most important thing I can tell you right off the bat is to get God to the center of your life and keep Him there. All right, you're going to be leaving here, and you're going to be going into new areas. I sometimes used to jokingly say, you can move to Searcy and you can become a member of this congregation, but you can never leave. And you're not permitted to die either. And you know, that just doesn't seem to happen. We know you're getting ready to move. We don't like it. We love you. And you're going to leave big holes when you do leave. But when you leave, you're going into new areas of the world. If you're going off to college, you're going to be meeting a lot of new people. If you're moving to another part of the country, you're going to meet a lot of new people. You need to be very careful about the people that you choose to be your companions and your friends. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Proverbs 22:24-25, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Choose your friends wisely, because if they are individuals that are going into sin, they will drag you into it with them. Do not befriend all the folks out there that love to party on the weekend and hang with them, because if you do, you're going to be going to the parties with them, you're going to be drinking with them, you're going to be doing the drugs with them, you could get involved in the sex with them, you're going to go into the world with them, and you're going to go to hell with them. The choice of your friends is going to shape the future of your life more than you could possibly imagine. The point I'm trying to make is this. Find friends who are serious about their relationship with God. Find friends that are God-fearing men and women. You notice how I put that? Sometimes people that attend the Church of Christ are not God-fearing men and women. Sometimes you'll find people in the denominations that are God-fearing men and women. I was able to survive spiritually in Mississippi because I found friends in the Baptist church that were God-fearing. Find God-fearing men and women and make them your friends. Do not hang with the people who are going to drag you into sin. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Who you hang with is going to shape your life more than you can possibly imagine. I used to preach at the State Penitentiary in Mississippi whenever I was preaching in Cleveland, Mississippi. There was a young man there that was a very fine Christian man. But you know how he ended up in prison? He was in the back seat of a car that got stopped by the police. And the man in the front seat had a gun. He pulled out the gun and shot the policeman, killed him. The guy in the back seat didn't even know he had a gun. He had no idea he was going to do what he did. But because he was in the car, he was an accessory to murder and was in prison and had been in prison for 10 years because of who he hung with. Be careful who you are around. If your friends are foolish, guess what? You're probably going to become foolish. If your friends like to use drugs, guess what? You're going to go into the drug world. Whatever group of people, whatever kind of sin it is they're involved in, if you befriend them, you will go with them. Choose friends who are wise. Choose friends you can learn from. Choose friends you can grow with. Choose friends who will help you be a Christian. One of the biggest changes in my life was when I finally made friends with people that were serious Christians in the Church of Christ. And I cannot tell you how much that impacted my life. It helped me repent. It helped me become a serious Christian. It helped me to this day to become who I am. Choose your friends wisely. Now, you're living in a time that is wonderful. You have cell phones. When I was growing up, long-distance calls, they'd eat you alive. Those of us that are older, we all know about calling on the weekends and at night. We jokingly tell people, my wife and I, that we had to get married because we couldn't afford the phone bill. You got cell phones now. And you can call and they don't charge you so much. And you can get on the internet and you can even FaceTime. Wow! What an amazing time to be alive. You can communicate with friends who live in other parts of the country and even the world. Find friends out there that are serious about their relationship with God, because you need them and they need you. Find them, form strong bonds with them, and encourage and exhort one another in your relationship with God. I cannot tell you how big this choice is going to be. Choose your spouse wisely. Proverbs 21, 19. Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. All right. Now just listen to me. If you're single, listen real close. If you are courting and dating someone and you fight like cats and dogs already, run. Get away. Don't think it's going to get better when we get married. No, it's not. It's going to get worse. So if it, by the way, you know what's worse than a contentious and angry woman? You know the answer. A contentious and angry man. And if you don't understand what it is, the idea of someone who's contentious and angry, if you go left, well, you should have been going right. And if you go right, you should have been going left. And if you're standing still, you should have been moving. And if you're moving, you should have been standing still. What I'm trying to tell you is, it doesn't matter what you do, it stinks. It doesn't matter what you do, it's no good. And they put you down, they put you down, they put you down, they put you down. Oh, please. Don't marry someone like that. If you are courting and still dating, and that's how they treat you, drop them like a hot potato. You don't want to be married to them. Choose your spouse wisely. Proverbs 23, 29 through 30. Who has woe, who has sorrow, who has contentions, who has complaints, who has wounds without cause, who has redness of eyes, those who linger long at the wine, and those who go in search of mixed wine. I would like to add one concept and one thought to that, and the people that marry them. If you're married to someone who likes drugs and likes alcohol, you're going to have woe, you're going to have sorrow, you're going to have contentions, you're going to have complaints, you're going to have wounds without cause. And so again, if the young man, the young lady who you're courting or dating likes to get high, likes to get stoned, likes to get drunk, drop them. Now. Run. Because it is not going to be good. And the idea, well, I can change them when I marry them. I'm going to tell you the truth. Whoever you marry is going to change. The question is this, change into what? Change into what? If they have God at the center of their life, and one of the things that is drawing you to them is their relationship with God, yeah, they're going to change. Probably if they keep God at the center, they're going to get better. Wow. And so what it is that drew you to them in the first place, it just gets better, folks, and better, because the reason you love them grows better and better. But if the person is in the drug world and you think they're going to stop just because they marry you, many times and most of the times they don't. And it totally ruins your life and your marriage and your family. Ezekiel 16, 14. Indeed, everyone who quotes Proverbs will use this proverb against you, like mother, like daughter. I'm going to go ahead and fess up in front of my wife here something I did when I was considering marrying her. I looked at her mother. Her mother's very beautiful, but you know something else? Her mother's a faithful Christian. And so is her dad. And they loved each other. Watch the way the person you're dating, watch the way their family is. Watch the way the young man treats his mother. Watch the way the young lady treats her father or her mother. Watch their interactions. If there is no honor from them toward the mother or the father, and there's no love and there's no honor, and they're just screaming and hollering at one or all the time, what makes you think they're going to be different when they marry you? Now, listen to me real close. Just because their parents are messed up, though, doesn't mean they are messed up. My grandfather was an alcoholic. I did not even know he existed until I got married. And it was like my father said, okay, you're married, now we can tell you about your grandfather. My grandfather was a despicable man. My father was the exact opposite. There are some people out there who learn from their parents. And they observe the way their parents are, and they say, you're messing up. I am not going to have my life like yours. And so I wanted to make that point, that just because somebody in their family may be messed up does not mean they're locked into it. Quite often, they hate what their parents did that is wrong, and it is what drives them straight into the arms of Jesus. Deuteronomy 7, 3 through 4. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, so the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. When you are going to get married, this is the second biggest decision in your life. The biggest decision is your choice to serve God and be a Christian. The second biggest decision that is going to impact your life more than anything is your choice of who you're going to marry. Do not marry someone who does not love God and does not have God in their life. Because you may think, I'll convert them. Okay, you may. Because there are a lot of people here this morning right now that were converted by their spouse. I'll grant you that. But how many times have you seen someone get married to an unbeliever just to have them pull them away from God? I've seen it too many times. And I'm just going to tell you this. It's a whole lot easier to pull someone down than it is to pull someone up. Be very picky about who you're marrying. You want the person you marry to be someone who will help you make it to heaven. Someone whom you can share your relationship with God together with. You can worship God together. You can pray together. You can teach your children together about God. To where you are helpers spiritually. I'm telling you, folks, there's nothing more wonderful than being able to worship your God together. Taking the Lord's Supper together, praying together, working together as a team in the kingdom. Be picky, picky, picky about who you choose to marry. Because they will shape your life and your future life and those who come from you more than any decision you will ever make. You want someone who loves God and who loves you. And will help you and your children make it to heaven. Choose where you live wisely. Okay, college students, it's your turn. You're getting ready to move. Where to? And what job are you going to take? Genesis 13, 10 through 11. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Okay, Lot is at a crossroads in his life. And he is told, you choose whichever direction you want to go, and I'll go the other way. And what Lot does, he looks down at the valley of Jordan. At that time, it was green. It was like the Garden of Eden. And he's a shepherd. Oh, plenty of food for my flocks, plenty of water. I'm going to get rich. I'm going this way. Lot's decision about where he was going to go was based on one point only. Money. Money. Now, the reason I'm telling you this, college students, is because you're going to be going out looking for the more important thing they call the J-O-B. You know, when my children got their B.S., we rejoiced, but we rejoiced a whole lot more when they got the J-O-B. You're looking for a job. Work. Okay. Do not let your choice of where you're going to work and where you're going to live be based solely on how much money you're going to make. Ask yourself questions like this. Is there a congregation of Christians close by that I can worship with? If the answer is no, don't move there unless you intend on planting a congregation. Do not go where you're going to be isolated and alone spiritually. Do not put yourself in a situation where you have no one to strengthen you, no one to worship with, no one to encourage you, because in that situation, you will burn out and burn out quickly. Make your decisions based upon God, with God at the center. There's a strong congregation close by. Yes, there's a good job. Yes, I can live here. Yes, I can raise my children here. I don't know if I should be saying this with the camera on, but there are congregations that have asked me to move and work with them, and I said no because I didn't want my children raised there. It was really no more complex than that. I did not want my children in that environment because I was afraid it would destroy them spiritually. And so the congregations I've ever moved to and worked with, and I've been here, you remember now, this is where my children were born and raised, and I moved back. Must be pretty good. There's a reason I wanted to be here. It's you. I'm going to tell you what makes this congregation wonderful is you. And what makes this town wonderful is you. You're here. Find a congregation where you want to be with you and your family that will help you and your family get to heaven. And now let's talk about that congregation. You know, sometimes wherever you move, there's only one congregation or two congregations. But then you got places like Searcy when you got, I got no idea how many congregations. What, about 10 of them? And you understand, when you got 10 congregations, you got what I call congregation hopping. And that is, we go over here, and then we go over here, and then we go over here, and it's, you know, kind of like ring around the rosy. And if you go to a congregation and it's not exactly like you like it, well, I leave. Okay, you're going to move. And wherever you move, be picky, picky, picky about the congregation you become a member of. And I'll explain to you why. In Revelation 2:5, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. He's talking here to the church in Ephesus. And he tells them if they don't repent, their lampstand is going to be removed. He got a question for you. What do you think it means to have your lampstand removed? I have never had anybody tell me that's a good thing. No, everybody understands that's bad. You don't want to have your lampstand removed. My understanding of it is it's a congregation in apostasy. I could be wrong, but that's my understanding of it. The point I'm trying to make is this. Do not join yourself to a congregation whose lampstand has been removed. There are congregations that are going in all kinds of directions today spiritually. You just need to realize that. And you do not want to join yourself to a congregation that has left God. Going back to Revelation 3, verse 15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. How do you think? Do not join yourself to a congregation that Jesus wants to vomit about whenever he thinks about them. Do not join yourself to a congregation that's lukewarm. As I told you earlier, just because they attend a building that has the sign Church of Christ out front does not mean they follow Christ. Find people that are following Christ, doing the best they can to teach the truth and live the truth by faith. If you've gone to a congregation where the leaven is leavened to the lump, if you don't understand what I'm saying, that is, they have no problems with sin. You want to drink, fine. You want to dress in modest, fine. You want to live in adultery, fine. Whatever you want to do, fine. Just worship with us. There are congregations like that out there, folks, that all they care about is numbers. I want you to listen real close. Yeah, we want this building full, but we want it full of Christians who are serious about serving God, And our goal is that every single member of this congregation crosses the finish line in Christ. Sometimes we're going to have to reprove you. Sometimes we're going to have to rebuke you. Sometimes we're going to have to exhort you. Sometimes we're going to come after you. Do not go to a congregation that doesn't care. It doesn't care how you live. Doesn't care if you serve God or not. Doesn't care if you go to hell. Just come worship with them. There are congregations that are so caught up in the numbers, they don't care about the spirituality of the people in the pew. Be picky, picky, picky about the congregation you worship with. And finally, Revelation 3:1, and we'll close with this. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you're alive, but you are dead. Whenever the time came that I had to decide where I was going to live, when I was moving from Spring Hill, Louisiana, I picked up a bulletin and I saw that there were congregations within driving distance that were looking for preachers. And so my wife and I, we got in the car and we drove. And we drove to a building of one of the congregations. And I drove up, and this is no joke, folks, the front yard looked like a hayfield. Nobody had mowed that place in months. And when you looked at the building, the paint was peeling off in great big chunks. How did I stay? How long did we stay there, Linda? 5 seconds or 10? And I backed the car up and I said, I do not want to work with this congregation. You know why? Because they're lazy. They're so lazy they won't even mow their front yard. They're so lazy they won't even paint their own building. And I guarantee you, whoever comes in there, they expect the preacher to do all the work. You visit the sick, you sow all the seeds, you take care of everything, including the yard and the building too. Now bye. We come to worship services sometimes, but you take care of all the work. Listen to me, folks. I refuse to manage the death of a congregation. I refuse to work for church to do all their work. Refuse to do it. I will work with a church to where we are a team. Now then, if you find a congregation you sense they're dead, 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 go looking for another congregation. And by the way, let me conclude by saying this point. The spiritual strength of a congregation has got nothing to do with the numbers on the board. It's got nothing to do with the building. The spiritual strength has to do with the people's relationship with God and one another. Now, that I told you earlier, we're in a town where there's 10 or 12 congregations that you can pick from. If you're here and you're a member here, it's because you chose it. You chose to be here. That's a compliment. Thank you. But I'm going to tell you something about the Airport Loop Church of Christ. There are three things we're going to do to try to draw and keep everyone who ever becomes a member of this congregation. The first and most important thing is this: Christ crucified. Christ crucified is at the very center of everything. And then following that, the Word of God. You look at the outlines, you're going to be given the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. And then third is actual, real brotherly love. The brethren here really care about each other. It's going to be tough leaving, by the way. Because it's tough to leave a congregation that loves you. And it's going to be tough for us, you leaving. It hurts both ways. But whenever you are moving, find a congregation that has Christ crucified as the main thing. And the Word of God is what is being taught in the Bible classes. And the members are serious about trying to follow God's Word by faith. And they actually do love one another. And so, in summary, be picky, picky, picky. Picky about your friends. Picky about who you marry. Picky about where you worship. Picky about where you live and work. And when you're making the decisions of who your friends are going to be, who you're going to court, who you're going to marry, where you're going to live, what are you going to do for a living. Keep God at the center to where your entire life and all of your decisions are being based upon God at the center of your life. And if you keep God at the center of your life, your lives, I believe, will be what it is those of us that are older want them to be. We want your lives to be filled with joy. We want your lives to be filled with blessings. We want you to find a spouse, a husband, and a wife who will love you till they die and love the Lord more than they love you. We want you to have children and families to where you love one another. And you grow in your relationship with God. And when you face the trials, as you know you will have God in your life, your brethren, your friends around you, your family around you, and you will endure them, and you will be faithful to the close of your life. And finish your race in Christ and die in Christ. And I'll see you on the other side. I'll see you on the other side. Our goal is to finish our race in Christ. The choices you're going to be making in the next few years are going to be some of the biggest decisions and choices in your life. Keep God at the center of your choices and your decisions, and your life will be good. I told y'all earlier, in my young life, God protected me from myself. Right now, as an older man, I don't have a midlife crisis. I'm not going to have one because I'm the most blessed man alive. Can't do much better than that, can you? I'm right with God. Yeah, I got heart problems. If I kick off here in the middle of the sermon, I'm good to go. Don't worry about me. I'm right with God. I get to preach the Word of God to an amazing congregation. I get to work with you. You have no idea how much a blessing that is. And God protected me from myself and kept me from this wonderful woman in life, my wife. And then he blessed me with 3 children, and they're all faithful Christians now. I live in America. I get to shop at Goodwill. And wear wonderful, nice clothes that don't cost very much. And I get to eat wonderful food and drink good water that's nice and cool. Physical blessings are showering on me. I live like a king. I'm the most blessed man alive. You know why? Pretty simple. God's at the center. And the choices I make are around God. I want your life to be good. I want you to know what I have known. I want you to experience what I'm experiencing. The blessings, the peace, the joy of having God in your life. If you're not a child of God yet, our primary desire and hope for you is that you would become a Christian. Do you honestly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Are you willing to openly confess that faith and, motivated by your faith now, make the great commitment of repentance, that is to follow the Word of God by faith in your life? If you're willing to make that great commitment, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ for the remission of your sins. You are now beginning the biggest choice for the rest of your life. God at the center. You obey the gospel. You're in Christ. Keep God at the center all the way to the close of your life. And on the other side, when you do die, you get to be with the Lord, which is far better. Eternal life in heaven with God. That's what we want for everybody here this morning. If you're a child of God already and there's sin between you and your God that's separating you from your God, deal with it. Take the sin to God. Our God is gracious. He is merciful. He is willing to forgive us. Take the sin to him, confess it to him, and turn from it. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We will honestly do the best we can to be there for you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to help you serve the Lord faithfully. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way whatsoever, Let us know what we stand and sing the song that has been selected.